Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider Basketball Postseason Podcast. Marty Millard here, joined by Mitch McCumber. We'd like to thank our sponsors right off the top, RTI, and then next in line, Mark Johnson with American Family Insurance. We'd like to thank Mark for his support, and also our friends from Bob Rose, been with us all season long, Point After, Westside Pizza, and the North End Zone. And Mitch, we start things off here, heading towards March Madness here, be here in no time, and we're going to talk girls hoops first, and the 1A bracket. We'll go ahead and check in with that first.
Yeah, super important seeding in regionals. Actually, the girls bracket in 1A and in a lot of classes, pretty much almost already done. So in the girls bracket, we'll talk a little bit of Remsen-KP matchup. Winner of that advances to the regional championship, and they'll play either Coon Rapids or Alexa EKA, something like that. One of the alphabet Exira, schools. Exira,
yep.
Yeah. With the Remsen matchup, though, I like a little bit. It's a close matchup last time they played. Earlier this year, 52-43, Remsen gets the victory. So a team that both teams have already seen can match up well against. And, you know, these teams are pretty similar with how they score. It's just one team's a little bit more reluctant in relying on a freshman. The other one's relying on juniors. But they have some senior leadership all the way through. Both teams do. Should be a good matchup to start.
Yeah, a really good one. And just looking at this, both teams are at least on a five-game win streak, one win streak, maybe a little bit longer there. And that score that you spoke of took place back on January 5th. So it's been a little bit. I'm sure there'll be adjustments, in-game adjustments as well here for the second meeting. But hard to not recognize a freshman performer, Sydney Duscat of Kingsley Pearson, averaging 22 points a game and 7.3 rebounds, Mitch.
And that's going to be the tough thing is you have to have a freshman now that's kind of led your team all year. You know, you have your Baumans and your Schroeders lead the way. The senior leadership is there, but your main guard that handles the ball for you shoots a 33% from three-point range, 74% from the free throw line. Is going to have to lead your team through a battle against a really junior-led team in Remsen St. Mary's that's been there before, ridden the battles, and you know only has one loss on the season at a 21-1 record. And it's going to be really what team's more battle-tested here and play at. You know, you're playing at St. Mary's High School, so you're going on the road. You know, first real test game, I think, for Kingsley Pearson. I think Remsen's got just a plethora of, especially the junior with Jensen Bunkers, Ricky Schroeder. I mean, there's just so too many of them that I think they're going to outlast the storm that Kingsley Pearson brings. I like Remsen in this one, and I like Remsen to go on and win their next game as well and represent the community down at state once again.
Yeah, that should be a good one tomorrow night. Tip off 7 p.m. If you're looking to catch a great girls game, that would be it.
Absolutely.
And then moving on to the next bracket, Mitch, what do you show there?
Westwood, a 20-1 Westwood team.
Yeah.
Kind of flown under the radar all year, I feel
Very
like.
Impressive.
Not
yeah.
talked about enough. Yeah. We'll face Tri-Valley. Winner of that game gets Woodbine or Stanton. Another game of highly ranked teams. And, you know, Westwood looking at Tri-Center, 14-9 on the season, but nothing to look at and go, oh, they're an easy walkover team, because they're really not. This Westwood team, their only loss of the season, they just recently lost on the 4th of this month to Kingsley Pearson, who we just mentioned,
right,
by a score of 30-31, a low-scoring game. And that's the kind of game that Westwood doesn't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
They hold their opponents to a low average of about 35 points a game, but they score in the 63 points a game. As Tri-Center, they're a team that is kind of like how the Kingsley Pearson game played out. They want to slow it down.
Yeah.
They average 40 points a game. They hold their opponents to 38. They play a slower, grinded-out game. You know, and their difference in margins is only 2-point difference on the season in multiple games. So when you look at this game, I think the sophomore and freshman leadership that Westwood has is going to have to really propel them. We just talked about it. being kind of a hindrance for Kingsley Pearson, you're going to have to make it go in your favor if you're Westwood. You have a young team, but a really good scoring team. This team scores a lot of points. Ashlyn Davis, 15 points on the season, per game on the season. Brenna Johnson, a freshman, 11 points. Jaden Ferris, the senior, with 8 points. But these girls rebound the ball extremely well. 703 total rebounds on the year.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that number when you told me that.
I mean, just 33 rebounds a game. And, you know, majority of them, two-thirds of them are defensive rebounds. But they do average about 12 to 13 offensive rebounds. And, you know, in a girls' game, you get positioned on the inside and, a long three grabs a long rebound, but a nice, easy put in from short from two is 2 points that some teams don't get back. And that's the margins that Westwood wins a lot. They shoot the three really well. I like this team to continue what they were doing. They played a lot of ranked teams last couple weeks and won some games that Kingsley Pearson one kind of came up and bit them a little bit. I think they were looking ahead to the Woodbine matchup, which they won earlier as well. Should be a great game, though, because, you know, Tri-Center, we've seen them even in football. You know, they bring their best effort to all these local teams.
Yeah, very competitive team. And, again, the key thing for Westwood, as you mentioned, I want to follow up with, if they get a game going in transition, they're really hard to
beat. Oh, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, it's done.
The way they shoot and can extend, and especially the way they grab rebounds. If you get out in transition and you're, you know, trying to stay with the speed of the game when it's going and you throw up a three and miss, Westwood corrals the rebound and is able to run or even set up their offense going the other direction, and they're able to get 2 or 3 points out of their possession. You know, you can only go so long of trading empty possessions until Westwood's able to get on it. And, you know, I think that they're able to get out and get on it early and pull away with this one.
Yeah. And then moving on to 2A, really good team, Central Lyon. I mean, and all the success just they've had in their athletic program this fall and over the winter. They have an undefeated girls basketball team here taking on West Sioux. And this should be another competitive game. Central Lyon's loaded, though, Mitch. And, you know, they're probably positioning themselves for a run.
A deep run with that, too. They have a couple gals that average, Klosterbauer averages 20 points a game, and, you got some gals behind her. It's a senior and junior led team. Like, this team has been in it for the long haul, as is West Sioux team. And I just think that it's, you ran into the wrong buzzsaw. This Central Lyon beat sixth ranked Sioux Center twice. They beat number three ranked Sibio Cheaton. They're taking out their competition and like Boyden Hall winning by 40 points. This team is cooking with every spice you have in the kitchen. And there's not one thing they do wrong. And that's the reason that they've been undefeated so far this season. I think this one, I'd like for West Sioux to try to keep it close. I think, going into halftime, it could be a competitive game. I think that, a lot of teams have found out and are still going to find out that Central Lyon is loaded and ready to keep going. And I think they could win their second state title in this year, one obviously in football and this one. I think they can win in girls basketball for sure.
Yeah, I mean, they've got a lot of players that can hurt you from all over the floor. So really hard to defend there. And then on the bottom of that bracket, close to home here, Hinton, 19-3. Taking on MVAOCOU, 15-7. That's tomorrow night, and Central Lyon will draw the winner of that contest. And what's your thoughts on that Hinton game tomorrow night,
man? I like we've talked a lot about freshmen in a lot of these games.
Yeah,
and,
a lot of young talent in the area.
Oh, it's impressive. Bailey Bovey for Hinton's been really impressive all year, leading point scorer and rebounder for the Blackhawks. And I think the thing for Hinton is they get out and they run and they play in transition so well. Yeah. And their scoring margins are completely flip-flopped of MVO, COU. And I think it's just a game where they get out and run, play well in transition. They're going to give a really good effort if they were to win the game, tomorrow. against the Central Lyon gals. And that game's going to be an interesting one because I feel like both teams play a similar style. They're going to score the basket at will. They're going to be good rebounders. It'll probably be Central Lyon's biggest test. Mm-hmm. I still like Central Lyon in that one, though. They'll play it. It's the regional championship game, so I believe it'll be at a I think it's a neutral court with this one.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
So you don't get the home court advantage, so you know things could go Hinton's way. You could see that happening, but I think that matchup, especially in the 2A region, is going to be probably the best game that there is. Coming up on the 22nd, which I believe is Monday.
Yeah, and another gal to mention there is the Natalie Junk gal, who's
yes.
senior performer, had a great career at Hinton and looking to continue on as far as she can. And then we move over to
3A and
3A.
I think repeat champions. Yeah. I don't know anyone touches Estherville, Lincoln Central. They play a really good Algona team, mm-hmm. but you know this team won a state title that hadn't been done in, I think it was exactly like 30 or 40 years, something like that.
Yeah.
And they haven't missed a beat. I mean, this team is playing
really good.
Insanely well. The Stokes gals, the Jaeger gal, I mean, they play and they aren't just beating teams. They're massacring teams.
Hammering them, yeah.
Last two games, they scored 71 points and held their opponents to 17 and 12.
Unbelievable.
They played earlier this year, or late in the last year. They did these two, Algona and Estherville Lincoln Central, and Estherville won by 34.
Mm-hmm.
I see the same score happening. I don't know if there's a team in the state in Class 3A that can touch Estherville. And, you know, it's going to be an impressive ride, too, looking for two back-to-back state titles, and you know some of these seniors are going to go out with some pretty big smiles on their faces because they haven't lost very many games in the midget uniform.
Yeah, exactly, and that's another school with just a flat-out good athletic program.
Yeah, the guys are good too.
The guys are good too, and you know I know they're highly competitive in football as well, which we follow pretty closely. Yeah, and looking to this, you know, you just want to get past Algona, and you know. Keep on moving on, you know, just avoid injury at all cost. You know, you hate to see something flukish happen this late in the year when you've established the groundwork to make it to the state tournament.
And we move into looks like almost an all MRAC matchup for the 4A regionals. Bishop Heelan will host Lamar's on Saturday. Bishop Heelan has won both meetings between them and the Bulldogs. I think they make it three straight.
I don't see Heelan having much trouble there.
Heelan, probably the most poised team out of this this region to make it there. Sergeant Bluff has a really good matchup with Spencer after demolishing Dennison Schleswig, 63-16. An impressive game by the Warriors there. Spencer can throw Sergeant Bluff some fits. They played a really close game and played good against Sioux City East, who is you know, a similar opponent that Sergeant Bluff has. And I fear that, you know, a game that, and it'll be foreshadowing in Bishop Heelan, that's sped up. We've talked about it all year that the guard play for Sergeant Bluff just isn't quite there yet.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't developed and gotten to a point where it's there. Their bigs are phenomenal, and we know
they're
that.
They're very good down low, yeah.
But when you have to have, it's like, it basically, the Lakers in the early and late 90s without Kobe and just with Shaq. Yeah, you're good. Your down low presence is insane. But Shaq can't take the ball up the court every time.
Yeah.
And when you press and work, there's just so much that the Sergeant Bluff team can do and withstand. I still think they go to Spencer and win.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the road ends there when you have to face a Heelan team that's been there before. They were in the state title last year, played a really good Xavier team, led for 2.5 quarters, and then kind of the train fell off the tracks there.
Yeah.
But Heelan will speed Sergeant Bluff up, and I think that they'll win that game. But the Sergeant Bluff-Spencer game is going to be a great one. I think whoever comes out of that falls short to Heelan, mm-hmm. and I look for Heelan to make not only just a run at the state title, but a deep one at that, and maybe even bringing some hardware home.
Yeah, most definitely. I think Heelan, you know, they got a great coaching staff. Coach Kulstra, Coach Donaldson, and I mean, very experienced team that's here in the postseason right now. They force teams to make mistakes, and then they capitalize on them. And I think we're going to see more of that here very soon. In fact, beginning Saturday against Lamar's. So, yeah, should be a fun ride to cover Helan. And, you know, that Helan-Sergeant Bluff matchup would be a fun one to go watch.
And you look at these teams playing in 5A matchups of teams around the area. Sioux City East will play a Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln team that they've played twice already. Mm-hmm. I think they can get Three's Company and win that one as well. And they'll probably have to take on a 20-1 Johnston team. And that Johnston team is no joke. Their little resume, if you want to run down, they've won 4 of their last 5 games, all against ranked opponents. Their only loss is to Dowling Catholic, who is very, very superior, and we'll talk about them here in a little bit. Wins over 9th-ranked Southeast Polk, 14th-ranked Waukee, 6th-ranked Ankeny Centennial, and 7th-ranked Valley. I think they're proven that middle part of the Des Moines region is very battle-tested. Iron sharpens iron. Not a lot to test Sioux City East this year, except for maybe Helan. And I think the road ends for Sioux City East going up against a really good Johnson team. But overall, the year will end for East at 17-5. It's a really good season, especially with how young that team was to start the season.
Yeah, think of what they bring back.
Oh, yeah, they're going to be a ridiculously mature and ready team to battle and go after it coming up here next year. And then Sioux City West, who got the win over Sioux City North, will travel to Dowling Catholic. Dowling Catholic, I think, arguably is one of the best teams in Class 5A. They beat that Johnson team earlier. I think Sioux City West's record comes to an end here. You got to play your best basketball and have Dowling play pretty poor off the ball. Maybe force some turnovers, keep it close. But I think Dowling, just all in all, is, you know, they've always been that team that's there in multiple sports, especially in basketball, for guys and for girls. I think they make their statement again, and I do think they go down to the state tournament. They could be as high as a 1 or 2 seed once they get down there too. So this is a team that Sioux City West just unfortunately had to run into after winning their against their conference opponent in Sioux City North.
Yeah, exactly. Should be a fun watch to take in these girls' postseason games and find out what our pairings are at Wells Fargo, man.
Absolutely. And we'll get right into guys now. Remsen St. Mary's for Substate 1. Already won their game. They'll play here tonight, actually, as we're talking about this. Tip just started. Remsen St. Mary's versus Holly Melbourne Sanborn. Remsen obviously had that magical run and a good run in football.
Yeah.
They play a good Hartley Melvin Sanborn team that we saw earlier. Iowa State commit Cooper Eibel, also really good on the hardwood as well, playing. So that should be a good matchup. I like Remsen to not only just win tonight, but I like them to make it all the way. They'll probably play Kingsley Pearson in their next game, but I like them to match up against Galen Catholic, and I think the Galen Catholic matchup is very interesting with them and with Galen Catholic and Remsen St. Mary's, because these are two teams that really know a lot about each other. They played each other throughout the year, and you know, should be a great matchup between the two. Galen's led by a plethora of seniors. And, you know, they split between the year. Remsen won the first matchup 50-62, and then Galen Catholic won the second matchup 57-51. Mm-hmm. So all comes down to that important final matchup, third matchup, and for that to be the chance to go to the state tournament, I think it's, you know, you heard a lot about script writers the last couple weeks. The script writers couldn't have wrote this any better.
No.
For the class in 1A. And I think, you know, either team that's able to advance and make it, the Jays or the Hawks, I think either of those two teams, you know, have a chance to really make some noise down at the tournament. There's going to be some good teams down there. Grandview Christian's really good. And there's some other teams down there that are going to make some noise. But, you know, you just got to play your style of basketball, and I think they can really, you know, run the table in 1A, depending on what seeding they get. It's all about seeding once you get down there.
Yeah, it's all about seeding, and I agree with you. I think they have what it takes to go on there and play really well and, you know, aim for that state championship. You know, you're there. go ahead and go for it, you know. I think they have a deep enough bench, too, to where if they would get into foul trouble or anything like that, they could overcome something like that.
Absolutely. And then they kind of know what they've been through with the football, too.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about a team in 2A that we talked about in just in girls basketball that we think can, you know, have a really good season. And I said win their second state title. They have a chance to win their third in the year with the Central Lyon boys, 18-1 on the season, playing a Boyden Hall team right now that, you know, had a historic run last year. Mm-hmm. And I think they run a little short. Central Lyon's really poised to play some good basketball. Will more than likely, out of the District 15, meet up with West Sioux, who's playing Unity Christian tonight as well. And I think, you know, they handle business tonight against Boyden Hall and then play a close one against West Sioux, and you'll get the winner. I believe out of that district will probably be District 16, which is on the bottom there. I believe Underwood is probably the most poised to come out of there.
Yeah.
Better record and better style of basketball. And that's an Underwood team you hear a lot about in football as well, too. They're really good culture out over there. But I think Central Lyon is able to make it out in this 2A sub-state 8 bracket and make it down to the tournament. And Central Lyon could send boys and girls down to the state tournament. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, and, you know, Zach Lutmer, all his success in football, headed to the University of Iowa to play football. He's a leader on the basketball floor as well.
Oh, yeah, so, he puts highlights on both, the gridiron and the hardwood. Yeah,
just a hell of an athlete. So it'd be fun to watch that one play out, Mitch.
And then we move to 3A. Number one ranked in the sub-state bracket one is Webster City at 16-3, and that will come down to the bottom portion of the bracket where Bishop Heelan plays Lamar's. I think Heelan is able to beat Lamar's at home on the 20th.
Yep.
And then Carroll comes to town to play Sergeant Bluff Luton, who's, you know, been a team to where they've surprised some people.
Yeah.
And, you know, just kind of depends on what kind of basketball they get. They won their last game of the season beating South Sioux. Yeah. And, you know, if I think both of those teams advance, we've seen them play twice this year. Both teams won by 15 or 20.
Yeah.
And both on, you know, opponents' courts, I believe. So home court advantage doesn't mean anything. It just depends on what two teams show up to play.
Right.
And really get the ultimate bragging rights because each team split the meeting so far. You know, if it went up to a coin toss, I just like the overall maturity and just how Bishop Heelan has handled themselves from last year to this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, with Noel and some of the other guys that are playing, it's just probably a little too much for Sergeant Bluff. But I say this every single year, and Coach Adam Vanderscaff is like, wait a second. We're getting ready to cook, and we're going to make a bit of a state tournament run. And, you know, Sergeant Muff could beat Carroll, then Heelan, and then beat Webster City. And all of a sudden, they're going dancing in what seems like in a Cinderella run every single year. So 3A is going to be a great matchup to watch. Both matchups on the 20th, and then that big one, which could happen on the 23rd. You know, obviously, the site to be determined on that one probably would be at Heelan. I think it's still the higher seed. And then the state qualifier game goes to a neutral site. But should be a good one there in 3A, I think.
Yeah.
We have a chance to have someone represent in all three, or all four classes, excuse me, in the Sioux City area. And we'll get right into the 4A matchups.
Yeah, exactly. One other quick note here. Tyler Smith's been on fire lately for Sergeant Bluff. He had 30 against South Sioux, the game that you mentioned. And then back in the upset over East, he had 24. So he's clicking right now. And, you know, I'm a believer in this postseason Sergeant Bluff basketball deal. How can you not be by now, you know? Otherwise, you haven't learned your lesson, you know? You know how they always say when you putt, did you go to school on that putt? So I'm trying to using a little bit of history as a background for this potential matchup. So, yeah, I would love to sit through a matchup of Heelan and Sergeant Bluff to see who moves on, Mitch.
Yeah, and we'll move to a Sioux City matchup in 4A for the sub-state. The chance to play Norwalk, who is a young team but a very good team and has one of the Bourne brothers still playing. A lot of shooters on the Norwalk team. They score the ball at will, and they've been playing – some really good basketball as of late. And that's the matchup on the 20th, Sioux City West and Sioux City North, battle for a chance to go to Norwalk to play. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, the way that Norwalk's been playing is kind of murderer's row. Mm-hmm. Whoever, you know, wants to get the bragging rights of Sioux City can do so.
Yeah.
But you're gonna make a travel up to Norwalk, and they're gonna send you back. They're an extremely talented team. They can shoot the ball really well. They rebound really well. And it's going to be just a great matchup. And then East awaits the winner of Johnston, Council Bluffs, Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. I believe Johnston wins that one. TJ has been kind of lackluster all year. We've seen it in a lot of their games.
Mm-hmm.
Even in conference, losing by almost 50 points in some of those games.
Yeah.
Johnston, you know, a Central Iowa team, has a lot to play for. We'll come up and play Sioux City East, and it should be a good one. I think, you know, Johnston gives some disadvantages to East in the size, but East, we've seen all year. They lost those two games back-to-back, and we're like, all right, what East team is this? They come back, and they handle business, and they're like, you know what? Those two games were uncharacteristic of us. We played the top 25 team in the country,
mm-hmm.
and we played a Sergeant Bluff team who we talked about, always seems to make a magical run yep. at the state tournament. So, you know, they could play a team that's probably going to win state in their district in Nebraska, and a team that, if gets hot enough, can go and play at the state tournament in 3A. So those two losses at the end of the season may look like good losses. You know, you talk about all this bracketology. They may look like good losses. I think the thing that East has on their side is Coach Raz Vanderloo.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of his coaching staff, however many it seems like it is sometimes, and that senior leadership.
Yeah.
There are so many seniors on this team that can go out and get you a bucket, and then you're also, you have to, when you take all your eyes and put them on the seniors, you do have that junior in Fitz Grant. And I think the way that they play, the game against Norwalk, if those two teams end up meeting for the chance to go to state, amazing game. It's going to be absolutely amazing game.
Yeah.
Because East is going to be a team that's, you know, methodically likes to move the ball. They have a lot of size that can go inside or outside. Norwalk's going to be a team that's going to try to play almost some Golden State basketball and really mm-hmm. move the ball around the perimeter, shoot the three. Should be a high-scoring game and a great game. But nonetheless, should be an absolute dandy coming up there. And that game would be on the 28th, I believe, correct. At 7 o'clock. Yep. So
mm-hmm.
Then we'll move to the last team remaining in 4A, and that's Lewis Central. They're waiting the winner of Des Moines North and Dallas Center Grimes. Would assume Dallas Center Grimes wins that one. Council Bluffs, I believe, can win that. Council Bluffs has been a good team all year. Six losses,
yeah,
but good. You never want to say that six losses are good, but their six losses are really good. The only problem is they have to play Waukee.
Yeah.
And Waukee doesn't just have Omaha Ballou. Vance Pfeiffer is insanely good. Mm-hmm. Another big that they bring to it. They have Littlefield. They have the starting five is just as good as about any starting five in all of 4A.
Yeah.
I think Cedar Rapids.
Maybe even some NAIA too.
Yeah, Cedar Rapids Kennedy is proven that they're good. They beat up on some other teams in 4A that are really good as well. Waukee Northwest and Waukee, I think those are the top three teams in 4A. And then there's a lot of parity. Like Sioux City East, I think right now is ranked 10th in 4A.
Yeah.
I can match Sioux City East up with 5 through 10.
Yeah.
And I would put my money on Sioux City East with most of those schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get in the top four, it's a little dicey.
Tough duty,
those teams have Division I players throughout.
Yeah.
And it's going to be pretty evident once you get there. Depending on the pairings, I think those four go 1 through 4. And I would be hard-pressed to not see a Waukee Northwest championship game. But, you know, it's just going to be how everything gets seeded. And, you know, Waukee's lost two games. So who's not to say that Council Bluffs Abraham Lincoln doesn't go in and shoot the ball well. And, you know, Ballou and Pfeiffer and some of those guys have a bad night. And AL's able to win. But I think the matchup, it gets you ready for March for college basketball, which is, I think, one of the best times of year.
Yeah.
This year seems like there's not a ton of teams that are just going to run away with it in most classes. There's some mm-hmm. that are a little bit more pressed than others. But I think this season you're going to see teams that are well-coached make it a lot farther. Teams that, you know, have been in battle adversity make it a little bit farther. And, you know, the teams that have that, the it guy,
yeah,
that's able to push them through. So it's really going to be, you know, the brackets are presented to these kids. Yeah. Who's going to step up?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's easy to sit here and say, which I'm gonna, because I still truly believe it, whoever can hit free throws down the stretch is going to move on. I mean, to me, you just can't underestimate that ability to knock a one-on-one down. You hit the front end of the one-on-one. If you don't hit it, you're leaving 2 points on the floor and headed down to the other end of the court. So
anytime you can,
it's tough.
Anytime you can score a basket with the clock stopped.
Exactly.
Coaches harp on that from day one. Fundamentals, AU ball.
Yep.
Anytime you can score a basket with the clock stopped is huge. Goes to your advantage, especially if you're down. You know, you get time if with a made free throw to set up your defense. There's just so many things that go down to it. And we've seen in, you know, it's not even just the college level, the pro level. You'll look at some of these teams that lose games in the slimmest of margin. These guys are professional athletes.
Yeah.
A lot of it's being lost on the free throw line. It's because some guys just can't make free throws. And, you know, I definitely agree with your statement is these games that are close, go look at the box scores, look at the free throws. I bet the team that has the most free throw makes or the better percentage ends up winning the game.
Yeah, and I'm thrilled to have the shot clock at the state tournament. I mean, again, man, that's good news. And again, you know, watch the strategy of the foul situation itself coming down the stretch. So, Mitch, great basketball ahead of us here, and we look forward to continuing down the tournament trail.
Absolutely. We'll have by the time we talk next, the brackets we made for both guys and girls. And maybe girls probably more than guys, but we'll kind of get an inkling on who's going to play and what games. And, you know, it's sad, but it seems like we're going to have one or two more podcasts of basketball, and then we're going to have to get right into baseball. But, you know, it seems like the basketball season is come and gone. But, you know, it's been a memorable season for a lot of Siouxland teams, and we've been happy to be able to cover.
Yeah, it really has been fun. So we appreciate y'all listening. We'll talk to you again next week.